Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Have you been thinking of becoming a Saints Happy Hour patron? We have an offer you can't refuse. Sign up, and if you don't think Saints Happy Hour is the best daily Saints podcast and you aren't having a blast chatting on our private Discord channel with other Saints fans, we will refund your money. No questions asked. If you sign up at the $10 level, you can even keep our Boost Bundle welcome gift after the refund. You have absolutely nothing to lose, so go to saintshappyhour.com and sign up today.
Podcast ads are the worst, right? Everyone hates them. You can get Saints Happy Hour ad-free by becoming a patron. That's right. Patrons get access to every show ad-free. No ads ever. You also get Breaking Saints News podcast, Saints player grades, early access to shows, and behind the scenes access. Plus, you get access to our Discord channel where you can talk Saints 24/7 in private with other Saints Happy Hour listeners. And you get our world famous booze bundle with 4 swag items. Amazing. So sign up and never have to suffer through another ad again. Go to saintshappyhour.com. That's saintshappyhour.com and sign up today. Thanks to JLD Hot Sauce and Knives, Saints Happy Hour listeners now get to listen to the complete version of our weekly Twitter Spaces the entire football season. If you want award-winning hot sauces like Boot Jolica or Reaper Madness Special Reserve, go to www.jldsharpsauce.com. They have incredible jellies such as palm and pepper. They also have an incredible selection of handmade knives for cooking, hunting, and your outdoor needs. Go check out the Zombie Killer Quartering Cleaver and tell me it's not the best damn quartering cleaver you ever saw in your entire life. Jerry Embler is a tremendous supporter of Saints Happy Hour, so we're asking you to support the people who support Saints Happy Hour. Go to www.jldsharpsauce.com to get the best hot sauces and knives at the best prices anywhere. Use promo code SaintsHappyHour and get 10% off. That's www.jldsharpsauce.com.
G'day, it's Stevie from 12 Ninja here. And look, if you like American football, you should check out Saints Happy Hour podcast. I personally know all about American football, other than it's a bunch of massive blokes wearing spandex, shoulder pads and helmets, running around with a throwing a football. In Australia, you don't throw footballs. You punch it or you kick it. And there's no protection. They're all naked. And there's sharks and crocodiles fired out of cannons onto the field, and we all stand around and drink blood watching it. But if American football's your thing, you know what to do. Saints Happy Hour podcast. Stick it in your ear hole.
All right, everybody, welcome to a Saints Happy Hour post-game edition. Bleep them refs. Bleep everybody. The Saints are 1-3. Of course, if a field goal kicker's kicking from 61 and he's going to do the double doink, of course the Saints are involved. Will Lutz was almost heroic with 2 60-yard field goals. I don't know if that's ever happened in NFL history where a kicker kicked 2 60-yard field goals in the last couple of minutes. But it didn't go in. The Saints looked for the first half like a bottom four NFL team. They did everything possibly wrong. Special teams continued to be atrocious. Deontay Hardy fumbled a kick. Andy Dalton had a fumble of his own. But the defense was heroic and kept them in the game, despite the Saints continuing to step on rakes, continuing to be terrible on special teams. The Saints got back, got to 16-14, got ahead 22, got ahead 22-19. Then the referee, I mean, the two calls on Minnesota, the drive that put them ahead, were just atrocious. I mean, the pass interference call, that one is really bad, but I've seen that call before. The call on Honey Badger on the illegal conduct, that call just is atrocious in every possible way. That's just a blown call. Dennis Allen will get the letter on Wednesday, the oopsie letter from the league, and it's just, they're 1-3. The Saints, they're going to win football games this year, I think. They're not going to be a bottom five team in the NFL. They're going to win some games. The offense looked better in the second half, especially. It looked better. Minnesota's terrible against the run, but the Saints got the running game going. And once they got the running game going, Andy Dalton looked above average and finished up pretty nice. We're going to get to people's calls. Kevin is with us. Kevin, you pipe in and join us. But we're going to get Andrew too. But we got Bud Rich, Jay Boudreau, Marcus, Ryan, pipe in. We got a ton of people wanting to talk. Bud Rich, what you got for me?
Man, I woke up early for this shit. You know what still hurts me? I did leave Alvin Kamara in my starting lineup because I.
Ooh, that's a burner. That's a burner.
Yeah. Yeah. So I got hurt two different ways. But first of all, Olave is him. He is a fucking stud. Training up for him was a great decision. And I'm glad he is performing well. Like so far, all these first round wide receivers have been for the past 2 or 3 years. But the one thing I saw from Dalton, I saw better sustained rhythm. Because that's one thing Jameis struggles with is if he ever can get into a rhythm, he can't sustain it. But Dalton was able to.
I mean, Dalton was 20 of 28 for 236, a touchdown, no picks. He had the fumble. He was sacked twice. It's hard to say this because partially it's just unfair to Jameis. What am I going to say? Yeah. It's unfair to him, Bud Rich.
The one thing I did want that I did miss from Jameis was on some of these deep throws outside of the big Olave catch that got him in that tried to get him into field goal range. Jameis would have at least tried to put more air on it, but Dalton has a very limited arm.
Dalton has a limited arm. The thing that I'll say, and thanks, Butteridge, the thing that I'll say, Kev, and Kevin's with us, is this is what I'm going to say is completely unfair to Jameis after one game, but I look at it, and I was wrong. I thought Dalton was going to be completely washed today. I thought we were going to be like, he's washed, we don't have a play, there's no prayer. And all the Jameis people were going to be like, now what? And I was just going to be like, now we're just going to drink and be sad. But Kevin, I look at this offense, and I know Minnesota's defense is bad, but I think Dalton is a better fit for what they're going to do, even when Jameis is healthy. Because Dalton, besides the fumble, and he did have the one pick where Minnesota probably should have intercepted it. But Dalton just is much less calamity prone than Jameis. And that's unfair because I feel like Jameis got it. His foot got hurt, his back's broken, and it just didn't work out. But I don't know if Jameis would have done what Dalton did today. Because I think they're just completely different players.
Well, yeah, they are completely different players. I don't know. I am not prepared to make the Andy Dalton is the guy, and I say that fully confident that I don't think Jameis would have helped the Saints get 25 points today.
Yeah,
but I'll say what I'll say is I was expecting like this was going to be a worse situation because Dalton was doing this without Kamara, without Michael Thomas. So it's almost like regardless of what happened, if he loses, people could say, well, he didn't have Kamara, he didn't have Michael Thomas. If he wins, then you get people who immediately leap to, and he did that without Kamara and Michael Thomas. Yeah. I would just say I feel comfortable saying let Dalton start the next week and maybe the week after that. Make sure Jameis is 100%, while at the same time, you will have a much better idea of what you have with Andy Dalton when he has Michael Thomas and Kamara back. And again, if you choose to, I guess it's kicking the can down the road, but I'm fine doing that. Like, kick the can down the road, tell Jameis, tell the public we're letting Jameis sit next week. We're making sure he's going to be 100% before we put him back on the field. Andy played well enough to deserve another start, so we're going to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. The one thing I was, man, Will Lutz in like pressure situations, he's freaking amazing. That's the first kick he's ever missed in a clutch situation for the Saints, by the way. Before the double doink, he had never missed a kick with the Saints with like under 2 minutes to like.
I mean, look, a half an inch the other way, and it probably bounces in.
Oh, I know. I take it back. He missed like a 65-yarder against the Raiders in 2015 to win.
Oh,
I take it back.
Shit.
I take it back.
65. Jesus.
Yeah, it was like 65, but. It's so frustrating because I don't know if either of these teams deserve to win today because the Saints were so horrible in the first half and Minnesota really should have been up like 24-7, 24-3 at the half. Like they just let the Saints hang in this game forever. And then the Saints finally got it going on offense. And he's not here, but it was Dave's boyfriend, Latavius Murray, looking young, looking spry. He was running, you know?
Honestly, the Vikings are probably one of the worst 3-1 teams of all time. although if the Bears end up beating, who are they playing? The Giants?
Yeah, they would.
Yeah, if the Bears end up beating the Giants, then shit, you've got two of the worst 3-1 teams in recent memory in the same damn division.
Yep. Jay Bordeaux, what you got for us?
I'm about to get my shot of fireball after that game, so I don't know what you guys want me to say about that son of a bitch game. What the fuck? What in the actual fuck did I just watch?
You like, watched bad referee for sure.
Gave us it. They gave that Vikings that game. That was complete bullshit.
Yeah. I mean, the referee, like, here's my thing, is like, be consistent. If you're going to be bad all around. They weren't bad. They were bad. It's slighted for the Vikings, although Tuttle did hit Cousins with the hands to the face that they missed. That's about the only break the Saints got.
And the rest of the way, they missed a pass interference on Olave. They didn't give him a hands to the face on Lattimore during that pass interference play. Like, Jesus Christ, at least give us a freaking sky judge. So at least we can look it over. Like, at least the USFL and the XFL did something right. And like,
well,
they sky
used to look over pass interference, but they don't do that anymore. They don't.
Yeah, because because they fucking half-assed that attempt because they didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
It's bullshit. And I think – and listen, I know everyone's going to make the comparison of Cody Parkey with that double doink. Let's be frank here. That was a 61-yarder. Henny almost made it. I thought he made it as well. I was watching –
because you can kind of tell on those kicks, you know, the long ones, like – They have to hit it low, and sometimes they either pull it really hard or it gets blocked. It was coming down. I was like, "Oh shit! He did the damn thing. He banged in 2 60-yard kicks." And my wife was like, "What happened?" I'm like, "He missed it." She's like, "What?" I'm like, "I don't know. He hit the crossbar or some shit. I don't know."
And then he saw the replay. It was a double doink.
It was a double doink.
And the Cody Parkey one was like a 44-yard chip shot.
It's not the same. I want people that are in the room, I want you to talk to us. I want you to tell us how you feel about the Saints. Are you confident? Not that maybe they can be the expectations of what we thought, where they win the division and be a good team. But can they dig out of this? Can they dig out of this and make something respectable of the season and still be in contention for a playoff spot after Halloween? After today, I still think they can, but like Seattle becomes like a must win.
Well, same here. I think Seattle's a must win, but I think, like you said, the defense did its job.
Yeah.
The offense, even with Andy Dalton, without Thomas and Kamara, he did efficient, which is something I like to add with Dalton. There's a big difference between Dalton and Jameis is that Dalton has the, I want to say the look, but he has the eye on like decision making on where he wants to throw the ball. With Jameis, it's very, he's like tries to think of where he needs to go and doesn't make like the easy route kind of thing.
Thanks, Jay Bordeaux. I think that's part of it, but I think part of it, Kevin, is Jameis is just he plays quarterback, and not, I'm not even talking about good or bad. He plays quarterback in a different way than Dalton. Dalton, when he gets the ball, he's like, I got to get this ball out of here. My deep guy isn't there. Check down. Check down. Check down, right? Jameis, he's looking. I'm looking for Olave. I'm looking for Thomas. I'm looking to hit shot plays, and I'm going to wait and see if it develops because I have a cannon of an arm, and I'm going to make that big throw. And what happens is Jameis takes a lot of sacks because he's slow getting rid of the ball. He gets hit. He throws picks. It's his nature, you know. Dalton is a different way, and I just look at it, and I think, Dalton is more likely, if the Saints play him the rest of the year, Dalton is more likely to get them to, 8-9. Jameis might, there's, 3% chance he'd get him to 10-7, but there's also, 50% chance that Jameis is going to get you, 5-11. 5-12. So, Bill Bixby, what you got? You Tampa fan. Go ahead. Go ahead, Bill.
What's going on, fellas? Man, the one thing I was looking at this game is, one, Kirk Cousins is the epitome of completion percentage and TD ratio being overrated. He is the reason y'all stayed in that game.
Totally.
He missed a Jefferson to check down at the sixth.
Jordan Jefferson was going to, I mean, Justin Jefferson was going to murder him. Bill, I mean, the Kirk Cousins is he is the embodiment of the quarterback that your fan base murders each other over because he's never going to win you anything, but he's the 13th best quarterback in the NFL. So if you throw Kirk Cousins away, are you going to do better? Are you going to do the same? I don't know. So Kirk Cousins is actually in my opinion, he's the worst kind of quarterback to have because at least with the Saints, Jameis, Dalton, we're like, we know both of these dudes, they're not it. And we got to get a quarterback. But Kirk Cousins, you're like, I don't know. But I don't give a shit. I don't give a shit about Minnesota. And oh, by the way, their coach, he was just – his whole clock management was just awful, awful.
Yep. And one thing you take away from this, see what happens when y'all commit to the run. Even if he's down 10 points in the first half, he still can run the ball. But also, Chris Olave should be your wide receiver number one. Michael Thomas should be your wide receiver three. I know people may not want to admit that, but 2019 is long gone.
I disagree with that. I think you saying Olave can be number one. I can agree with that. Michael Thomas was bawling for 3 weeks until he hurt his toe. And Michael Thomas today would have been a godsend to Andy Dalton because there was two or three throws where Callaway didn't win on the slant. I guarantee you Michael Thomas wins on that route, knows how to position himself, catches the ball, and it's a first down. you know.
Yeah, and I'll say this one last thing before I run. I always, again, thanks for taking my call. I just think that – I think it's like people talk about Dalton, and I think this is where that's in, like, when people wonder why Jameis Winston played hurt, this is why. But you also remember, Dak is rushing back because Cooper Rush won two games. Well, Tom Brady won. Jimmy G gone because he played a couple of good games.
Bill, no, that's a great point. And listen, you know, Dak, at least he rushing back, but at least Dak got his money, right? Dak got paid. Tom Brady's Tom Brady. But Jameis Winston, like, you know, he's not – the Saints aren't – Dennis Allen ain't committed to him. He ain't never won nothing for – he's won one game for Dennis Allen. He ain't never won anything for the Saints. So Jameis knows, like, his career hangs in the balance. And the thing is, like, for Jameis, fair or not, like, this game is the baseline now for us. We're going to – when Jameis comes back, we're going to be like, Jameis, were you efficient? Did you not turn the ball over? Did you allow the offense to score in the 20s? And if he's not doing that, we're going to be like, bring back Ginger Man. Bring back Ginger Man. And is it totally fair? No. But the NFL isn't freaking fair. So that's what it is. Travis, what you got for us?
You make a really good point, Ralph, of kind of like that, you know, the contract year. And for Jameis, you know, my comment was going to be, you know, it really doesn't matter who's quarterback. It's kind of the difference between whether you want to call crap shit or poop, whether you want to be vulgar or not. I mean, it's both turds.
Yeah.
But, you know, but for Jameis, you know, like you said, like being in that kind of contract year, kind of make it, break it, you know, it's just going to be forcing it down the field, you know.
Yeah.
With Andy, it seems like he just seems more in control of the moment, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like I would think, and of course, you know, we're just maybe just, you know, accustomed to noodle arm slant from Drew for the last 5 years. But that's kind of what looks good to the eye to me. I don't know. We're just not consistent enough at the end. It just doesn't matter who's the quarterback. We could have Pete Breeze, you know, 14-13. It's just too many penalties, too many self-inflicted wounds. And that's just going to be the story. Like, that's what this team has been for a year and a half, and it's not just going to change overnight. And I think that's the most disappointing part.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough. Do you think – how worried are you that they are going to give the Eagles a top 10 pick for the year?
I don't know. It's hard to tell. Like, I want to say, oh, no, you'll be fine because we play the Falcons and we play the Panthers. But, shit, I mean, we probably should have lost to both of those guys already. I don't want to get like dark or anything like that, but I mean, it could get really dark really soon if this play continues. I mean, my fingers and my toes are crossed that, you know, Jerry Jones just stacks all the chips on the table and, you know, gives us a, you know, a first for Sean Payton to where it negates it. You know, it's a wash at that.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's worrisome. I do think they'll win games, but you're getting to the point now where you're 1-3. Like if you can't beat Seattle at home and you're and you're 1-4, I mean, like you're done. It's done.
And then you look at the road ahead of just the teams you have to play. I mean, the Bengals, I mean, yeah, their record's not great, but you know that Joe Burrow's and Chase, I mean, they're gonna dice us up. It's just gonna happen. You know?
I don't necessarily think that. I think the Bengals game will be very similar to today with the Saints on offense. Not that Burrow isn't better than Cousins and Chase is equal to Jefferson, but Burrow holds on to that ball, and the Bengals offense isn't coordinated very like Zach Taylor. He's not a good coach, in my opinion. Like, their offense is just a bunch of plays. It's not a system. It's not rhythm. So they'll hit a couple chuck plays against the Saints, but the Saints will also get after Burrow and pressure.
Yeah, and, you know, as negative as I'm being looking at the schedule right now, I mean, Seahawks, Bengals, Cardinals, Raiders, Ravens. I mean, that's manageable-ish.
Yeah.
You know, if you go 500, but then it gets pretty crazy at the – I don't know. It's just
– yeah.
It's so hard to kind of put a pulse on this team because one minute, you know, Dalton's driving down the field. The next minute, we have some bullshit penalty. Or it's just – it's a turd sandwich either way you slice it.
I mean, thanks, Travis. The one positive is – the offense looked good in the second half. Like they had 7 points at halftime. They scored 2 touchdowns. Lutz kicked the 2 field goal. He almost double doinked the other one. Like the offense was moving the ball, you know, and there were points in this season, especially the first 3 quarters, where they weren't. And the one thing I will say with Dalton is all of Jameis's points in the fourth quarter, the game that the Saints were 2 scores down. The Saints in this game, they moved the ball in the fourth quarter and it was a game. Like Minnesota wasn't giving them anything easy. So that's positive. You know, it's a shame, too, because the defense was freaking about football. The defense was football heroic today. It really – like, the defense really was incredible today and hung them in that game for as long as they could. And then the offense got going and the Saints had a chance to get it.
Have you been thinking of becoming a Saints Happy Hour patron? We have an offer you can't refuse. Sign up, and if you don't think Saints Happy Hour is the best daily Saints podcast and you aren't having a blast chatting on our private Discord channel with other Saints fans, we will refund your money. No questions asked. If you sign up at the $10 level, you can even keep our Boost Bundle welcome gift after the refund. You have absolutely nothing to lose, so go to saintshappyhour.com and sign up today.
Podcast ads are the worst, right? Everyone hates them. You can get Saints Happy Hour ad-free by becoming a patron. That's right. Patrons get access to every show ad-free. No ads ever. You also get breaking Saints news podcasts, Saints player grades, early access to shows, and behind-the-scenes access. Plus, you get access to our Discord channel where you can talk Saints 24/7 in private with other Saints Happy Hour listeners. And you get our world-famous booze bundle with 4 swag items. Amazing. So sign up and never have to suffer through another ad again. Go to saintshappyhour.com. That's saintshappyhour.com and sign up today.
I mean, yeah, I'm not going to, like, I know a lot of people want to blame the defense or after, like, those final 2 drives, but sometimes Justin Jefferson's just going to get you. That's just what happens. The one thing I'll say is, like, the scariest thing about this is I don't know where the Saints go from here. Like, at all. because, like, you know, they have a talented team and everything, but, like, the team's getting older.
That's right.
And the hardest things to find are a franchise quarterback and a great head coach. Like,
that's
those
right.
are, like...
And they have neither.
It took the Saints 40 years to find their first great quarterback and great head coach. And I've been thinking about this all week, and I didn't want to say it because I never want to overreact, but, like, I'm starting to think that it's time to just call it in and just, like, start trading away your assets.
No, the thing is, the Saints are kind of, this is where the Loomis math, it really, and Andrew's going to, me and Andrew are going to investigate it this week and down the line, but this is where Loomis math and the Saints never surrender, always going for it. This is where it burns you.
Yeah.
Because the Saints really, they're locked into this roster for this year and next year. And that was part of the calculus with the Saints where
right.
they looked at it and they were like, look, we went for it with Breeze and we are locked into this roster in 2022 and 2023. So if we're locked into this roster, screw it. Let's go get Olave, get Penning. Try to hope that we catch lightning in a bottle with Jameis. We win 1 year with Jameis. We'll figure out next year. And then in 2024, we start that process, right?
Well, no. Like, I agree. And with that, here's my thing. The odds, and maybe they're trying to catch lightning in a bottle, of you getting a franchise QB and then Dennis Allen becoming either, like, good or, like, you know, them getting a good head coach or something is very minimal. And my thing is this, is, like, these players the Saints have right now, and I know it's probably going to wreck the cap and, like, all that stuff. It probably doesn't make much financial sense. Is that even if you, like, let's say they target a QB in the draft and they hit on it, is that QB going to be good enough the next 1 or 2 years to be like, to get this team across the edge? Like, it takes a couple years for a quarterback to.
I mean, maybe, but it, I don't know. I mean, maybe Justin Herbert was good right off, you know?
Right, but I mean, like, yeah, one out of like how many? My entire thing is this: it's like, the assets the Saints have, like Lattimore's value is high. Like, I'm not just saying like Lattimore, but like, you know, the players' values are pretty high. Like, you can get some assets and then you can prolong the process where you don't have to hire the next head coach that's like the next great head coach in the next 1 or 2 years. You could spend your time and not try to rush it to get this talent to back the playoffs. And like, you look at all like the different eras across football, they typically last 5 to 6 years, and then you know, you start to see some falling off. And this, like, you know, Saints core with that 2017 draft, it's their sixth year, and like, usually it doesn't like fall off, and then that same core somehow gets better in their seventh or eighth year.
Freaking about football, I hear you, and we'll see. Andrew, you're with us. You're gonna have to carry me. I full disclosure. Max got the stomach flu at the Tulane game and was projectile vomiting. And in the fourth quarter of the Saints game, I also realized I have what he's having. So it's just
– Are you sure it wasn't Saints special teams?
It might have been the special teams. It might have been the – look, Andrew, the thing about – before we get your thoughts on everything, the thing – everything wrong with the Saints, like the quarterback, the offense issues, I can explain it. The defensive issues, some of it, I can explain it. The issues that they have, I cannot come up with a decent explanation as to why the Saints special teams that have been elite for the last 5 years are now a dumpster fire.
Yeah, it's a real head scratcher. You know, they continue to outkick their coverage. So the cover teams aren't good. The kickoff return, where look, you're in the game, you start to get some momentum, you give up a huge return, and then you get a 15-yard penalty because you hit him too close to the out of bounds, and like that, it's just unbelievable, man. The amount of times this team makes mistakes, really in all three phases. The refs, look, I'm sure we'll talk about the officiating. I think. As fans, we're obviously allowed to complain because, man, it's every week. And I don't think, like, we'll never get the respect we deserve from other fans about the realities of what's going on there. But it's a problem. It happens every week. And I'm sick of it, man. I really am. And, you know, it's too bad. It's one of those things where I just think it's happens every week. And it's just really frustrating.
Yeah. I mean, what's your thought? I was very negative early in this game because there was stretches in the first quarter or so where the Saints looked like the worst team in the NFL. Like, they looked atrocious, but they picked it up in the second half. The offense looked not great, but okay. Like, that's the Saints in the second half, they look like the offense we needed them to look like and we hoped they would look like going into this year. We're like, if you play that kind of offense and with this kind of defense, they're going to win a lot of games. So – where are you in a sense of, can they turn this around and not give the Eagles a top 10 pick? Because that's where I am. I just, like, just be relevant at Halloween. Like, that's it. That's what I want.
Yeah, I don't know, Ralph. I don't, they keep starting slow. And honestly, today, I mean, I thought this was probably the best game they had offensively of the season, unless you want to count the Falcons' fourth quarter. But I still just think they're starting slow and they're still making mistakes and back-breaking penalties. I mean, the problem, I think, Ralph, is that there's so many little things in this game. Like, you can go back to it's 3rd and 15 and they run a screen and they score a touchdown where you miss a couple tackles, right? It's little stuff. And then it's like Olave on a 3rd down pass to Landry misses a block and Landry gets blown up on 3rd and 2. You're short of the stick. So like, it's just little stuff like that that can't happen. You know, the Deontay fumble, the Andy Dalton fumble, you know, it's the false starts by Throckmorton.
Yeah.
Like, those kind of things will get you beat. Like, those are the mistakes that lose you football games. And the Saints are hemorrhaging mistakes. It's not like it's just one here, one there. Like, it's, They are hemorrhaging mistakes. Yeah. It's just all of these little things. It comes down to the details. And when you are hemorrhaging mistakes like this, to me, like, they just don't look like a team that's on point. And they're not focused. They're not locked in psychologically. And that, to me, that's coaching, man. That's coaching. And I just feel like when you look at Dennis Allen, you look at the staff, they've tried to run things Sean Payton's way. And I was worried about this. I told you, like, it feels weird that Pete Carmichael is still the offensive coordinator. It feels weird that nothing has changed. It's literally just Dennis Allen running the same team without Sean, except there's one big problem. Sean's not here anymore. So, like, man, it's not that I wanted wholesale changes. Obviously, look, there's a lot to like about what the Saints, the existing formula and what they have. So, like, but I was worried about just, like, when it was 53 cutdowns, every dude they kept, Throckmorton, all these backups like Dwayne Washington, Zach Bond, like, they kept all the same dudes. There was no surprises. They kept it was like all the existing players. Yeah. And so I look at this now and I'm just like, you're just trying to go with what you know and what's comfortable. And I just don't see a lot of outside the box thinking. And I don't see a lot of attention to detail.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, and listen, the details in NFL, like, it matters. And that's the thing I talked to you about in the summer when we talked about Sean Payton leaving. You know, I wasn't even focused on, like, X's and O's. I was like, what are these things that we don't know about because we're not in the building and we, let's be honest, 99% of fans, we don't really understand what we're watching as far as offensive football, the complexity and defensive. We don't understand it. I was like, what are all these things that Sean Payton, as an elite NFL head coach, what are these detailed things that he created, that he made happen, that we don't see, that we don't understand about as fans? What are they going to change? Are they going to erode? And I was hopeful that, like, the erosion would maybe be a little slow and Dennis Allen would win and it would be good. And we'd maybe see little things, but, that's not as good. But Andrew, special teams, disaster, penalties again. Like, these are things that we'll let people.
Now some of these penalties, though,
we're bullshit.
The Tyrann Mathieu illegal hands to the face. He puts two hands in the guy's chest. I mean, that video, you guys have all seen it. It's out there. And it's a phantom call. It's completely made up. And that was on a third down where they get a stop.
That's right. And that's hard because when you're in the meeting, you know, it'd be one thing if it was a penalty, like, Tyrann, you got to clean that up. It's like, no, like, he's inside 5 yards. He wants to be physical, you know?
Not exactly how it's coached.
Yeah. It's just, so we got a bunch of people to get to and, we got to get to people before I start vomiting in a bucket. Angry Ocho, what you got for us?
Yeah, let me see if I can sum up almost everything that was said there. I think the big thing that's missing is trust. And I think that some of it is detail, like not a lack of attention to detail. I don't think it's a matter of how many Sharpies are in the bucket. But what I think is you got a bunch of really good players trying to give 110%. When all they need to be doing is give 85 to 95 and actually execute on that 95. And you know, I mean, the only person on that field that we needed 110% today from was Lutz. And he couldn't come through with a 61-yard kick. And I don't think anybody blames him for it. But I just think without Sean and without Breeze, there's nobody there's like, that's who the team would have said, Breeze is going to get us out of this. I just need to do my part. Sean's going to scheme a play. I just need to do my part. And instead, you got a bunch of people trying to be the hero, I think. And it's just making parts of it fall to pieces. And, you know, I do think that the identity is a portion of that as well. You know, I'm fully satisfied with the Saints becoming a power run first team. And I think that they have most of what they would need, especially if Murray plays like that, to execute an offense like that and a defense that can keep you in games. And then your quarterback doesn't have to be as good. I tweeted about the lightning in a bottle thing. It's never going to happen again. You're never going to have a Sean Breeze combination again. If we were so lucky, then I'll accept it. But the reality is the Saints for the next 20 years may not be the best at anything in the NFL. And we're just going to have to come accustomed to that and find new ways to win. But I don't think blowing up the team is the right way. Mm. We have so many great pieces in place that I do think that they just need to find an identity, find a little trust in each other, and hopefully that'll carry the day for the next rest of the season. So,
yeah, thanks, Angry Ojo. Andrew, were you, I was talking about before I got here, and I said, look, it's unfair to Jameis because he's he was injured, and he's got the hurt foot and the hurt back and all of it. But fair or not for him, he's got to meet the standard of Andy Dalton today. Of, I know Andy Dalton had the fumble, but Andy Dalton moved the ball. Saints scored 25 points. They'd have had 28 if not for the double doink. Like, this is the standard. Whenever Jameis gets back, that he's got to reach. Fair, unfair, say whatever you want. So my question to you is, they lost today, so I think they will go back to Jameis. But, like, when do you – are you think they're going to get – like, Jameis get healthy? Like, how much more of Ginger Man are we going to see, you think? Andrew, you there? Andrew, you there? All right, Charles, what you got for us? Charles, what you got?
Yeah, just a quick point. I'm not going to mention the refs, so I'll go full groundskeeper Willie on here. But it's on the special teams, with Rizzi being promoted to the assistant head coach job and to take over those roles of clock management exec for DA, which is that stuff that Sean did completely by himself. The special teams look like a unit that isn't getting the full attention of their coach right now.
That's right.
And that's been two weeks in a row. Like, there's a lot of things that cost us today, and I think Juge summed it up well. It's all the little things, and you can overcome some of the little things, you can overcome a couple of them, but when you get them all the little things together, you can never overcome that. But that's 2 weeks in a row you could point to special teams saying, if special teams played a little bit better, we're probably winning both those games.
Well, yeah, I mean, that ties in. I will say this, though. The play that Minnesota ran on special teams was tremendous. Like, that dude sold that route tremendous. Like, it didn't feel like other times where teams have faked the punt, like in the NFC Championship with the Rams, where you're like, dude, what are you doing? That was obvious they were going to throw that pass. Like, that play that Minnesota ran, it was really well designed, I thought. But it is to your point. Like, maybe Rizzi, like, he's like, dude, we gave you more responsibilities, but you know what, bro? You got to focus on special teams, because special teams a disaster. And listen, Deontay Hardy, if you're not going to hold on to the ball, you can't return kicks, because he's not special anymore.
I don't think I've ever seen a less interested player play for the Saints.
Yeah, I don't know if he's injured, he's mad he didn't get an extension, I don't know, but he is bad. The special teams are bad. It's frustrating, because you can look at the Saints and you can say they should be 0-4. You can look at them and they could be 2-2. They could be 3-1. I mean, they've played basically. I know the Tampa game and the Carolina game ended up not one score games, but They were games, and you know the Tampa game was tied 3-3 with under 8 minutes to go, so it's still right there. The thing that I think is going to be hard for the Saints, and this is just a hard decision for DA, is, you know, if you go and let's say they rest Jameis one more week, and they play Seattle, you lose to Seattle. Who gives a flying bleep? You're 1-4 at that point. Who cares? You go back to Jameis, whatever. But if you win and you get to 2-3, and Andy Dalton, let's be real, like if he's what he was today, like 22 of 30, 250, two touchdowns, no picks. Like, the interesting question to me is, Dalton maintains this level. And Andrew, are you back with us? Andrew, when you get back with us, hop in. But Charles, you can answer this. When Jameis is back, if he doesn't reach this Dalton level that we got today immediately, Charles is gone. So Andrew, you answer. How much rope does Jameis have if Andy Dalton turns out another performance like he did today. How much rope does Jameis have to wear? He's got to meet that standard, and if he doesn't, I'm going back to Ginger.
Well, I mean, I think right now you have to start Andy Dalton again. I mean, I don't really think you can afford to look at this more than a week at a time when you're 1-3. You know, like right now at 1-3, you're kind of getting – look, it's a 17-game season. This isn't the NBA. This isn't, you know, this isn't Major League Baseball. So you've got to find a way to just get one win right now, Sunday. And so to who gives us the best chance right now to win? And I think when you look at Andy Dalton, both how he played in this game, how the offense was able to move the football, I actually, like, don't think it was great. I think there was – honestly, most of the games felt like Jameis Winston to me. And I think at times when he was getting vertical, I actually felt like – the ball had less zip on it, you know? So, I mean, obviously Jameis Winston has a stronger arm. I would say the only thing that kind of made me feel better about Andy Dalton being in there was one play right before the 4th and 9 when they kicked the field goal. I don't know if you remember this, where there was a free blitzer and Dalton kind of gets rid of it and he throws it to Callaway and it's short, you know, he kind of throws it short to Callaway and it's incomplete. I don't know if you remember that play, but like, that free blitzer, like Jameis has taken that sack. He's taken a sack there. He sees the blitzer and staring him in the face, and he takes that sack. And so that was a play where I was like, okay, like I'm glad Andy Dalton was in there. And I will say, like the short game, obviously, just getting rid of the ball, going to his check down options. Like he was doing that more consistently and more accurately. So I don't think I still think Jameis, like the upside excites me more if he's healthy. But I think right now, Andy Dalton gives you a better chance to win. And so I don't know when that point gets to where Jameis Winston is healthy enough physically that you would start to consider him again. But I think in the here and now, that's the best the offense has looked all season. Mm-hmm. And that was without Michael Thomas. That was without Alvin Kamara. You add those two guys to the offense and let Dalton play with them. I think it can be even better. So if I'm the Saints, I'm rolling with Andy Dalton next week. And just taking it one game at a time.
Yeah, I mean, because look, you go 1-4, you're done. You're done. And you don't have a draft pick, so we can't even argue with each other about tanking. You know, you go 1-4, you're done. If you've got two home games, the London game counted as a home game, but it really wasn't. It's true. You got Seattle, you got Cincinnati, and Andrew, really, you gotta get to 3-3. Like you gotta start winning games, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, it's your margin for error to make the playoffs gets a little bit lower every time you lose a game. And, you know, man, real quickly, I will say, look, I just to take a step back for a second, that was an incredible game. It really was fun to watch. I mean, obviously, heartbreaking finish, but I thought the Saints fought their asses off to get back in that one. And I commend them for playing hard. And man, like, Will Lutz hit that field goal. For him to hit the 60-yarder was unbelievable. And then the 61-yarder on the other side of that, I mean, he hits it right on the screws. And, man, you want to talk about a game of inches.
I thought it was good.
I thought it was good, too. I thought it was good. And for it to hit the post, kind of curl in, hit the crossbar, and I thought it was going to bounce over. I mean, you talk about a half inch there, you know, or the ball just bounces a little bit differently and that goes through the upright. So, kudos to him. Kudos to him. I mean, he misses that kick, but man, Will Lutz, like that was big time. And he really did hit it on the screws and just really unfortunate and unlucky there.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's just one of those things.
But that's the thing. Like, so I think, you know, the big takeaway here is when you look at that, and yes, the officiating, we could have a whole podcast, an hour-long segment, where all we talk about is the officiate. I mean, we could spend all our time doing that. But I just think this is further proof that in the NFL, the four games that they've played were all there for the taking.
That's right.
All four of them. And the Saints could very easily be 4-0 or 0-4. Like you can go back to one single play in each of those four games, and you could change the outcome, and they could be 4-0 or 0-4. You know, that's how close it is. And
that's
these
right.
things, they really the thing. It not much hangs in the balance here, And then now when you think about the things the Saints can control, because they can't control when Tyrann Mathieu does something legal and gets flagged for it. You can't control that. What you can control are the fumbles, the mistakes, jumping, false starts, dropping passes. Callaway had a really bad drop. Olave had a drop on a deep ball that Andy Dalton threw perfectly. So I just think, man, like, yeah, Andy Dalton had a fumble. Hardy had a fumble. Like, there's just – those are the things you can control. And when you add all those mistakes – this is a game of – Dennis Allen says this all the time. Whoever makes the least amount of mistakes wins the game. And the Saints are hemorrhaging mistakes every week.
I mean, you can't
– I mean, at some point, you got to look in the mirror.
Yeah, at some point, you have to win the turnover battle, win the penalty battle, and do it. And look – time's short, man.
Yeah, special teams, you know?
Yeah, time is short. Barstool Nola, what you got for us?
Okay, three quick things before I have to go on this thing called the Tube from London, which, by the way, is a fantastic country. I love it here. Beers are super cheap. It's great. So three things. One, Andy Dalton is the best option to win right now. He looked fantastic. I thought he made some good plays besides the bad fumble. But I thought he looked good. Chris Olave has arrived, and I think he's on pace to win Rookie of the Year. And who would have thought 4 weeks into the season, Latavius Murray would be the best running back the Saints have had all year?
I'm gonna cash that offensive Rookie of the Year for Olave. I'm pretty confident I'll be cashing that ticket.
And also defense. I mean, we can say what we want. Lattimore, we know he gave up a big play at the end. But, I mean, honestly, this defense is legit. We're wasting it on a bad offense that keeps on getting in its own way. We should at least be 3-1. You can take the Tampa Bay game outside. We should be 3-1.
Yeah.
The team just needs to get out of its own way. I think Seattle will be a good confidence booster. If I'm right now, I'm starting Andy Dalton. I know Jameis is – he's got a better arm, but I think Andy Dalton right now is healthy. He won't lose us the game. He didn't lose us the game today. I don't want anyone who says that he did is just wrong. So bring him back. Bring Michael Thomas back next week. Alvin Kamara, wait till he gets healthy. Latavius Murray looks good. But, I mean, honestly, this team is just its own worst enemy. And I'm going to listen, and I'm going to go get on the tube
thank you.
Drink a pint.
Drink a pint. And enjoy it, Barstool Nola.
Thank you.
At least the Saints gave a good show, Andrew. I was worried when it was early in the game. I was like, man, all those poor people, they flew to London and the Saints. I mean, because I felt like there was a window for Minnesota to boat race the Saints. Like, the Saints looked flat.
Yeah.
They looked inept. And Honey Badger flipped it around. Like, and Honey Badger struggled. We can get into that. But football's weird, man. One play just flips it around. And it's not so much – it just gave the Saints – confidence and a boot and suddenly boom, we're moving and they're looking good. I don't know. It's Will, what you got for us?
I honestly feel like we missing Marcus May a lot.
Interesting.
Hey guys, can you hear me?
Oh, Will, hold on 1 second. Go ahead, JB. You talking about Marcus May? Go ahead.
Yeah, I feel like we miss Marcus May, and also I was having this talk with my little brother about, like, Tyrann Mathieu coming home, and, like, I feel like he's distracted, and, like, he just don't have that same fire.
I just think Honey Badger is older, he's smaller, he's always been that way. For the Saints to maximize Honey Badger, they got to get ahead. And they got a – you saw it a little bit, JB and Andrew, with the Saints. When they got ahead, Dennis Allen started to dial it up. He dialed up the DeMario Davis sack. Like, they got it. He started to dial up the blitzes and the weirdness. And you saw this defense. They just couldn't get off the freaking field because of the refs.
Right.
But you started to see it. You're like, oh, yeah, there's the Saints defense. They're bringing the thunder now.
Yes.
And it's not a coincidence – that the defense, once the Saints got ahead, it started to look more aggressive.
Right. And another thing, I feel like if I don't know if y'all had this conversation or if y'all ever thought about this, but I feel like it's the coaching is a big thing too. Like, Sean Payton is just
100%.
He's just more intense. Like, it's more intense. It's like okay, like if you mess up, you fuck up with Sean Payton, then you know you're going on a bench. He don't care who you are. Like you could have been you could be Tom Brady. You throw three picks, you're going on a bench.
Yeah.
Like, and I feel like Dennis Adams a little softer.
Yeah.
And
thanks,
JB. We talk about this all. Thanks, JB. You know, that's a great point because I do feel like, you know, we always talk about making the building uncomfortable, and that was one of Sean Payton's mottos. And I do feel like Sean Payton was a big proponent of if we're losing the game this way, that's going to stop. We're not going to lose this way anymore. I'm cool losing a different way, but it's not going to be this way.
Yeah.
And through three straight weeks now, we've seen the Saints lose the same way. And so at some point, like, I feel like Sean Payton would have said, if I need to run the ball 50 times in a row with different players to make sure that we don't fumble and don't turn it over and don't make mistakes, then that's what I'm going to do. Like, he would be stubborn about it. And I just don't know that Pete Carmichael necessarily has that voice to go in there and be like, we're not going to do this anymore.
Yeah, what did he used to say, Andrew? We were not going to let it become that kind of game. And when he said it, it never meant the same thing because every opponent's different. Some weeks it would be, we're playing a team that has elite pass rushers. We were not going to let their elite pass rushers tee off on Drew. It was not going to become that type of game. Last year in New England, he was like, we're not turning the ball over. We're not going to let New England's really good defense get ahead and create havoc for us. It's not going to become that type of game. And I believe that you're right. Like, if Sean Payton was here, he'd be like, it's not going to be this. It might be different. Might be something else. But thing is, it's time's running short. The one thing I will say is Olave is a star if he's healthy. He's a freaking star because the Saints, they don't have great quarterback play, and he's still getting up. And they didn't have Michael Thomas. They didn't have Kamara. And you know Minnesota's like, Olave, he's the dude. We got to shut him down. And they couldn't. Like, he was still making plays all over the place. The one thing I will say, man, Andrew, you just see it like Trevor Penning. And I don't know if he would have beat out Hurst because Hurst is playing pretty good. But, man, Trevor Penning in that running game, like just mauling dudes in the run game. It would have been another thing.
Would have been nice. We'll see that in November. Hopefully the games still have meaning at that point. Yeah.
I want
to. Will's been waiting a while. Will, unmute yourself.
Will, before you talk, I am demanding something of the people in this space, Andrew. I have muted myself and thrown up in a bucket twice already. And yet, we are doing a post-game show for you people. Support our podcast. Go to Patreon, saintshappyhour.com, and sign up for a month. Become a patron. If you don't like it, I will refund your money. Randy and Joe needed refunds. I got them refunds. I'm throwing it up in a bucket doing a post-game show. That's the commitment we give to you people. Sign up and become a patron for a month. That's all I ask. Go. Continue, Andrew.
Will, you're up. Unmute. Go.
Hi, lads. So, based in the UK, been following the Saints since, 2005, and it's infuriating having to witness and watch these wanker refs every season, every weekend, just screw us over. If this were to happen in the Premier League in football, the stadium would start coming up with very good chance
about the referees and the officials. Because I'm an Everton fan, Will, and you know Everton has massive officiating things go against them with VAR. The coach, if you get up and antsy with the officials after the game, not only do they fine you, they'll straight up suspend you. And Frank Lampard last year just about lost his shit a couple times. I mean, the officiating, like, it's not just, like, I know the coach, you got to overcome it. But, like, it's just so systematic of the bad calls over and over and over again. And the thing is,
That's why I wonder, why can't we have a fan groundswell movement? Like, so I'm a Newcastle fan, and we started replying to every single tweet the Premier League official accounts put out, saying corrupt, referees are wank, all this other stuff. Why can't there be, like, in the Superdome next, like, just a chant about the refs, regardless of the result of the game? Why can't there be, like, a groundswell movement just to create some kind of change? Because this is no longer look, this is systematic.
It is. And Will, I'll say this. They banned all the – so you can't do all the fun signs you used to be able to do in the 80s and 90s. So you can't bring signs.
Oh, that's forward.
You can't, like, bring signs like the Premier League where you can when fans, like – when they're like, hey, we want this manager sacked. We're going to have a march 90 minutes before the game, and we're going to play songs and bring banners, and we're going to get Rafael Benitez loaded in a cannon and shot into the sun. Like, you can't do that in the NFL. But, I mean, it's just so frustrating because it could be, you know, it's just that the margins are so slim, Andrew. We could be sitting here, change a few things and be like, yeah, the Saints, they have all these problems. They have these issues, but they're 2-2 or they're 3-1. Let's get it fixed. We can get it fixed. We can dig out of a hole. But now you win two games in a row. It only gets you to 3-3. So, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, it's tough, man. Well, now, Will, you make a good point about the officials, man, and it would be cool at some point to see the fans organize and have some sort of movement or some sort of way to call it out where people start paying more attention, because I do feel like a lot of times, whether it's me on Twitter or anyone else, like, complaining, anyone that's getting eyeballs on that that's not Saints fans, I know they're rolling their eyes. They don't understand. They're just like, shut up, quit complaining. Yeah. Like, everyone gets bad.
Is there not a major media personality who would actually, like, be forceful in that regard that we could lean on?
I don't know, man. But, like, I will say, like, Mark Sanchez, who was calling the game, I mean, on a couple times, he's like, man, he flat out said that the Saints are kind of getting screwed here. And it was at least refreshing to have, like, a non-biased person say that out loud. I'll be honest, like, it was cathartic for me to just – thank you. Someone that's not a Saints fan acknowledging and seeing that we're not being biased here, that the Saints are legitimately every week getting screwed by the officials.
Yeah. It could have even happened in the Falcons game too, if not for that miraculous last drive. I was just thinking about that. Thanks, guys. Love the show, by the way. Thank you.
Thank you, Will. Become a patron if you're not. JM, JM, what you got for us?
Man, long time listener. I appreciate you guys. Man, Chris Olave is the real deal.
He is, man.
My biggest thing is, do you think if this season goes bad, do you think that he makes Michael Thomas expendable to an extent?
Well, the problem is, well, Michael Thomas' contract.
The thing is, they're committed to Michael Thomas because of his contract, and, you know, obviously they paid him out a bonus, so, like, they can't cut him. They would not get any cap relief from cutting him. So they could. Now, what's going to be interesting to see is the Saints have to create cap space by March 1st for free agency, because you have to be under the cap by then. And I think right now they're like $55 million over. So they're going to have to do more of that again. But if they don't touch Michael Thomas, they could cut him after June 1st. And I do wonder if there would be an exodus of veterans after June 1st.
Yeah.
The Saints would potentially make moves then.
And the problem that the Saints, and Andrew, we talked about it before you even got here. I was talking to someone. I said, look, part of the reason the Saints went all in on this year was they looked at their roster and, you know, all the accounting and the fun stuff Loomis had done, the Saints are locked into this roster kind of this year and next year. So the Saints kind of looked at it and were like, we're locked into the roster. Let's go all in and try to win one last time, because we're locked into this anyway. Like, the Saints, they can't really get out from under Cam Jordan or Pete or DeMario Davis or Thomas. Like, they're kind of locked in. Like, they're kind of locked in for this year and next year.
But that's a good problem to have, because I do think, J. Mill, like, if you look at it, Michael Thomas and Olave on the field together. And, you know, Jarvis Landry, look, he's only going to be on the team for a year, most likely. I mean, it would be nice to bring him back, but we'll see. But, you know, he's only under contract for a year. So, you know, Michael Thomas and Olave, like, I don't really see that as a problem to have both for a little while. But, you're completely correct that he's the real deal. He's already getting that respect in terms of coverage. And I'll be honest, a lot of the things that Jefferson did in that game where, you know, he cuts on it, stops on a dime, and then comes back and basically leaves the corner on skates. I mean, he made Lattimore, one of the best cover corners in the league, look real silly today. And that's how special Jefferson is. But when you see a lot of those moves that he's doing, like Olave, I think he's got to get his play strength a little bit better.
Yeah.
You know, he needs to learn how to block, you know, and those are things that will get better with time. But, like, his skill set, like, he already has a lot of those things in his toolkit. And so I really do think Olave can get even better and be really special.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Thanks, JM.
Charles, you're still on here. Was there something else you wanted to share, Charles?
Before we get you just kind of jumped it there. It was about Olave and the whole fact that he's done it with Jameis and Dalton, as though they're quite similar talent-wise as actual quarterbacks. They kind of couldn't be further apart. And the whole fact that he has done it with both those guys, it's a nice feeling just to have after a loss like that, to know we're going to have this guy for the next 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years.
Yeah, it's a great point. I mean, he feels like peak Lance Moore already, you know, four games into the season, which is special. And I think he's only going to get better. Like I said, and Ralph, you made a good point. And I think what Charles just said is true, too. Look, he's done it now with Jameis and Andy Dalton. And he did it this week without Michael Thomas in the mix. And Ralph, you mentioned this. Like, look, hey, the Vikings know how dangerous this player is. They're going to pay attention to him. And you know, I have to say, with 24 seconds left in the game, no timeouts, that throw that Andy Dalton makes, first of all, unbelievable throw. You got to take a shot there. You got to take your chance. But where he puts that ball, unbelievable throw by Andy Dalton. And for Olave to go up and get that was just a incredible play. All right, Ralph, I don't know.
I was muted. I was just going to say, the Falcons are beating the Browns 10-0 and the Seahawks are beating the Lions 14-6 in NFC one. But the thing that even if the Saints season goes bad, and even if they end up giving the Philadelphia top 10 pick, if they get a first round pick for Sean Payton, it can be okay. And the thing that you should feel really good about is, yes, the Saints, it looks like Peyton Turner was a whiff, and it looks like Zach Bond was a whiff. But Cesar Ruiz is coming around. Troutman's a bust, but he's a mid round pick. The thing that should give you really, because once you start losing, we gotta grab onto something that gives us hope, that gives us something for the future. The thing that'll give me real hope and real sort of positivity, Andrew, is the Saints looked at all the good wide receivers in the NFL draft. They looked at them. They had a bunch of them this year. They have a bunch of wide receivers. Drake London for Atlanta, Wilson for the Jets, and the other guy for Washington. He's doing okay. They're all really good. And the draft nerd said the Saints were stupid because you could have just got another one. You could have got another one. You didn't have to pay for what you paid for Olave. You could have got another one similar, just as good. And the Saints said, no. Olave is that dude. He's the dude that's the best, and he's the one that's the best fit for us. And for the Saints to trade up and get that right, if you have to rebuild, if you have to do things we don't want them, we're not accustomed to around here, the fact that the Saints are hitting on personnel is a really good thing going forward.
Yeah,
I threw up when I was on mute. I threw up in a bucket. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm glad that he's a stud. EC IV, unmute yourself. What you got?
Hold on 1 second. Hey, Ralph.
Hey, Andrew.
Hello.
You're here. You good? Go.
All right. So, I watched the game. I'm sorry, I'm at the Fried Chicken Festival. There's some kind of background, but I can't let the Saints ruin my whole day. But I watched it. I liked the offense a little better this week. It was watchable. The game was watchable, which is an improvement from what we normally see. But the penalties are killer.
Yeah.
And the fumbles. I've seen little tiny puppy dogs more disciplined than the Saints team. It's really bad, and it all falls down to the coaching. Like, we were warned by the entirety of the NFL about Dennis Allen and, you know, what happens with his team with the Raiders. And it's literally a repeat of what happened with the Raiders so far, at least.
Yeah, I mean, listen, ECIV, I think it's too soon to kind of eject on him. And look, he's 1-3 after four games. So that would be my only – and thanks for chiming in. You know, I think he's 1-3 after four games. And everything that happened with the Raiders I don't think we can hold that against him. I don't think that's fair. Like, he's the coach of the Saints. I think there'll be time at the end of the season to kind of evaluate, do you fire him after a year? You know, but I think, look, new regime, new coach. I know we want things to just kind of pick up where they left off. Like, Sean Payton and Drew Brees are gone, but we should just continue. But, like, it's not that surprising that this team is 1-3 right now. Like, and I think ultimately, if this continues on the path that it's on, he might be one and done. He might be fired after this year if this continues. Like, if they're 1-3 and it's kind of like, so let's say they're a 4-win team, I still probably think he gets a shot and comes back the next year, you know. But let's just say he wins 4 games. If he's not improving the mistakes, and I'm talking about the turnovers, the penalties, if this continues to be a team that plays just very undisciplined football on their way to a 4-win season, then I do think asking for him to get fired after a year is in play. And I don't know that Mickey Loomis and Gail Benson would actually do that, but I think you have to at least consider it. But, like, I just don't think we're there yet. Like, I'm seeing this a lot on Twitter, like, people calling for Dennis Allen's head, and, like, look, the coaching is not good. There's no you cannot defend the coaching staff right now. But where I'm at with it is, let's see how they adjust. Let's see if he's able to put things in place to kind of correct this stuff. He hasn't done it yet, but let's see if he can adjust, because he wasn't able to do that with the Raiders.
Yeah, and listen,
and if he shows you that he can't do it in New Orleans, then I think it becomes a lot more clear.
The coaching issues, it's not gross incompetence. And that's what gets you fired after a year, right? It's not Urban Meyer. It's not Joe Judge with the Giants. It isn't that sort of level of incompetence. It's just the details of, it looks like a guy who's going to churn out, if he doesn't get these things corrected and fixed, it looks like a guy who's going to churn out 3-6-11s. Like, that's,
I mean, listen, the reality right now is that if when you're 1-3, like, this isn't the time to make changes. But if it was the time to make changes, I believe that it's Pete Carmichael that would fall on the sword. Because if you look at how the Saints are playing right now, defense looks great. Defense looks like it normally does. I mean, I know the Vikings kind of got them a couple times on deep balls and all that, but, like, they did a great job stopping the run with Dalvin Cook. You know, they got a big-time interception from Tyrann Mathieu. They played their guts out. And I would say through 4 weeks, you look at this defense, and overall, I'm pretty pleased with how the defense has played. It's been offensively, they can't get in a rhythm. They're slow starters. They're giving the football away. And so I think offensively, you would say, okay, at the end of the season, I would say that right now, the way these games have played out, Pete Carmichael's probably the one. And look, I'll say this too, Ralph. Sean Payton has had some 7-9 years with comically bad defense.
That's right.
And what we always said was, man, just get us a guy that can coach this defense up. Get me one guy that can support Sean Payton and kind of run the defense. And Greg Williams came in, and it transformed the team overnight, right? I just think it's going to be like that with Dennis Allen.
Yeah.
Like, pair him with a good offensive coordinator that's creative, that can – so, like, to me right now, as you look at it, I'm not sweating my job if I'm Dennis Allen right now. Pete Carmichael should absolutely be sweating.
I will say this. The trouble for Pete Carmichael is offense is very stable year over year. And when you have an elite quarterback, that gave Sean Payton a lot of rope. This defense is old, and the defense can decline rapidly. So it makes Dennis Allen's job that much more difficult, you know? Because it doesn't, you know, because here's the thing, Andrew. If the Saints go, let's say they go 8-9 this year, but they don't get the quarterback fixed again next year, and then they go 6-11, and the defense goes from the 8th best defense to the 15th best defense, then you go into year 3, and you're like, hey, Dennis Allen, why are you here, buddy? The defense is declining. So it becomes very, I think it's just, it's unfortunate for Dennis Allen. He's just in a really challenging place now. Really challenging. Not as challenging as me trying to make sure I get the vomit in the bucket, but challenging.
Yeah. All right. Trill Burr, you're on. Unmute yourself. And what you got for us?
Yeah, so, you know, I've been thinking, try not to put it on officiating and stuff like that, because that's easy, that's a cop-out. I will say, like, as far as, you know, something positive to take away from the game, it looked like down the stretch of the game, the offensive line play, like the blocking and the protection, it looked a lot better. I don't know if that was more of a, you know, because Andy Dalton is, you know, he's a veteran. He relies more, I guess, on, you know, what his eyes tell him, playing more conservative, so he checked or what have you. But that was one thing that really, you know, stuck out to me as far as positives go. And, I mean, obviously Chris Olave, guy's a dog. But I will say the biggest thing, and here's kind of one thing where, Andrew, to your point, you know, about who falls on the sword, and I'm kind of in your camp with Pete Carmichael, because it's the same thing over and over and over again. I mean, I know it's 4 weeks, but we're at the quarter pole, and it's the same thing where, you know, we start slow, and then all of a sudden now everything starts to pick up, and, you know, it just seems like, well, if we would – I mean, just for example, like the first two drives that we had in the game, it was penalties, punt, and then penalties and punt, I think. But, you know, at one point in time, you know, I was just kind of off the top of my head. I think that the Vikings had more first downs than we had yards, like, in the first, you know, part of the game. That can't happen. Like that to me screams more of a play-calling issue, especially when it's the same thing that we've seen week in and week out, week in and week out, with all of this talent that we had. And then, you know, kind of my last thing is just, you know, for a position group like our offensive line that, you know, essentially was untouched, you know, obviously there was the departure of Tron Armstead, but for the most part, it was completely untouched, to have this many, you know, snap infractions, holdings, you know, missed assignments, stuff like that. Like, there, like, that's bigger than just the room. But, you know, I mean, again, like, for people saying, you know, DA should lose his job, and they're talking about the Raiders and stuff like that, I think that there's a lot more that's just, you know, it falls kind of like below him. Like, I think that, you know, he's doing what he's doing, I guess, not what he's supposed to be doing, but, you know, like, it's not just on him. It's more like specifically the offense. And because he was a former DC, I kind of look at it as, okay, the defense is his side of the ball. They've been balling. So, you know, he's more or less been doing his job, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's fair. No, look, ultimately it all falls on him. So if it's a losing team, I mean, he can't sustain that, right? So I think that's the main thing that we have to take away from this, is the more this team loses, ultimately it falls on him. And at some point, you got to cut Dennis Allen loose if he's going to continue to lose games. But, you know, whether that's after the end of this year or after 2 years or after 3 years, that all remains to be seen. But, you know, I do think if the season continues to go the way it is, I would expect the Saints to make a change in terms of the offensive structure and the play calling. And so, you know, I think along with that, you have to wonder if personnel changes also. Because, look, this personnel, all these people – they were brought to this offense specifically because Sean Payton wanted them to run his system. And, you know, if you're going to start to talk about a different system, the different players, I mean, then you got to get different personnel. You got to identify different kinds of guys maybe that have different kinds of skill sets. So that can be a daunting task. And I don't really blame Dennis Allen for not wanting to uproot it all, as long as it continues to work. But obviously right now it's not really working. But it's going to be interesting to see. Look, I think the most interesting thing right now with this offense is that they showed signs of life. Like, they finally, in the first quarter, it was really slow again. And obviously the penalties and the mistakes, but they really got in a nice rhythm there in the second half. And they started to put points on the board. Andy Dalton was getting vertical. I actually thought Andy Dalton, look, there was a fumble and then there was a ball that really should have been intercepted that was pretty poor. But I noticed less breakdowns up front. And I did feel like, from a protection plan standpoint, it did make me wonder, is he checking down more? Is the ball getting out more quickly? Is he making better reads? And is the communication better pre-snap, which isn't just allowing free blitzers to come in on every other play? So I did feel like that was better. And so for me, it's going to be really interesting to see if Andy Dalton continues to play this way, if the Saints just stick with him. Because I do think, again, the ceiling is higher with Jameis Winston. I believe that if Jameis Winston's playing his best ball, there's no question he's a better option than Andy Dalton. But I also think his floor is lower. And the way I saw Andy Dalton play today, in my opinion, it's a little bit better than what we've seen from Jameis Winston the first 3 weeks. So is, you know, at what point with Jameis Winston's injury does he get to a point where he feels healthy enough that, you know, he can elevate the team over what Andy Dalton's doing? Like, that's going to be a really difficult thing to navigate. I think right now you have to go back to Andy Dalton because he played pretty well. But at what point do you go back to Jameis? It's going to be really interesting to see, because now, like, you're kind of in desperation mode at 1-3. All right, El Gunna, I know you've been waiting patiently. Thank you for that. Unmute yourself and what you got.
Oh, man. Thanks for bringing me up. Dude, this is crazy, right? I'm sitting there tripping because one of our most dynamic receivers, they don't even play him no more, which is Deontay Hardy. They don't let him play receiver no more. That's taken away from our offense. They got him on punt return only, so he's trying to get his money up. That's why he fumbled today, because he's not getting the time play at receiver or running back like he did last season. So that's minus yards for no reason. Then Dennis Allen's imprint on the game is, like, awful. I'm not even going to harp on him, though, but it's just awful. I don't see the let's get in the rhythm offensive play that we used to run. That's gone. Then today is no reason for Justin Jefferson to get off like the way he did. Like, I don't know why we wasn't giving no safety help on him. Like, last season, if we had a receiver who was getting off, we put safety help on him, shut him down, fine. That was it. It was like a gamble off the dice every play to see who's going to win between Justin and Lattimore. And that was uncalled for. Just roll the safety or whoever over there to give Lattimore a little help, and that's it. So it's like, I'm watching the game, I'm looking like, why? Like, just step up a little bit, Dennis Allen, put a little bit more imprint on the game.
Yeah, you know, El Gunna, that's a really interesting point. And I think if you were going to bang on Dennis Allen, that's the way to go about it. I think you're correct. If you're going to give Dennis Allen criticism, that's where I would place it. Look, win or lose, I think the approach is we trust Marshawn Lattimore and Manny on his own.
Yeah.
And they leave him on an island, and that's their approach. And 9 times out of 10, it works, right? Like, he gets away with that because he's that good that he can shut down a receiver. We've seen him do it to Mike Evans. We've seen him do it to some of the best in the league. But they lost that gamble this time. And he was not able to shut down. Jefferson is too good. And you know, they rolled the dice on that, and Jefferson made him look silly. And so I think that's a good point that, look, in hindsight, I think if you go back and make a decision when you're thinking about game planning here and how you slow down the Vikings, I think leaving Lattimore on an island against Jefferson is probably not something they would have done, and they would have given him more safety help.
Yes, and that's the in-game adjustment. Okay, it's third quarter. Go ahead and just slide over a little bit to him. He's been burning us the whole game. Like, okay, y'all want to go and help Lad out just a little bit, at least on one play? Like, it was just crazy to watch. And I wish they'll put Deontay in a receiver. Like, he was one of our best receivers last season. Like it or not, he's dangerous. He's super fast. It's crazy.
Yeah, no, I agree. I know. So, Hardy's been injured. You know, and he was questionable last week. He didn't play. And thanks, El Gunna. I appreciate you speaking up.
Thanks.
Yeah, he was injured last week. Ended up being questionable and not playing. He was limited in practice this week. Ends up being a go. But yeah, I think Hardy. Look, I think it's hard. I think you make a good point that when you're not really involved in the offense and you're not playing, that he's maybe pressing a little bit more to make something happen on special teams. And whereas, as opposed to maybe just letting the game come to him. And so, you know, when you look at his mistakes, you wonder if he's pressing a little bit just from the lack of involvement. And look, like, the Saints have a lot of mouths to feed right now. I mean, you got Callaway that made some plays today. Traquan Smith had a great game last week. Jarvis Landry, he didn't really show much today other than the 2-point conversion, but you know, Michael Thomas wasn't even there today. But I mean, they've got a lot of receivers. They've got a lot of good ones. And so, you know, that's one area where I don't think they're really hurting for talent. And, you know, guys have stepped up. I think receiver, when you look at Olave, the way he's played, Jarvis Landry was great in week one. You know, obviously Michael Thomas, we know he's got to eat. So it's tough. Yeah, I do think offensively there's a lot of guys that they want to get involved. And unfortunately, Deonte Hardy's kind of been the one that's been removed. And I wouldn't mind seeing him get a little bit more action. I wouldn't mind seeing him run a go route and seeing if we can hit him deep, you know, because especially now when you consider the attention that all these other guys are getting, Olave starting to make plays where, you know, they're going to start to game plan for him and account for him in different ways to try to slow him down. I just think that's going to create better looks for Hardy. So reintegrating him into the offense just a little bit, trying to, you know, script a couple plays for him during the course of the game, I think would be smart. Scoops, you're on. What you got for us, man?
Yeah, hey, Andrew. I've been listening to everybody today, and I think everyone's made a lot of good points about, you know, the penalties. They don't really seem to be completely organized yet, and trying to figure out how they want to run the offense, trying to figure out which quarterback you want to play. You know, there's a lot of guys who are, you know, the main guys aren't playing yet. And so I just wanted to remind everybody that, you know, well, let's wait until the regular season starts. And then maybe they'll know what they're doing with some of this stuff. You know, it's just the season is so long that, you know, these preseason games are getting out of the way now. And when we start rolling a little bit, then we'll see what the plan really is. So y'all just have some patience.
No, it's a good point, though. And look, I think that we've talked about this before. That's kind of the downside of you don't play any of your key guys in the preseason games because you're afraid they're going to get hurt. Well, first of all, the whole thing about, hey, let's make sure we're healthy going into the season. I just want to say that backfired and it didn't work because half the roster is injured. So like the whole point of not playing guys in the preseason completely backfired because they're all injured anyway. But, you know, that's the downside is I feel like the Saints are missing a lot of tackles. They don't look super sharp. You know, there's that third and 15 play where they score on a screen is kind of terrible. And, you know, like missed tackles, the Laviska Shenault touchdown last week. That's a play that should have gone for 2 yards and been a tackle. So, you know, the tackling, you know, there's a little bit of that going on. And that's the downside when you decide to sit all these guys in preseason and you don't play them is they can be a little bit rusty. So I know you're joking there, but I think there's some truth to kind of what you're alluding to, which is they look like they're just starting to get a sense of the physicality and the intensity that they have to bring. And, but again, I just feel like it's the mental mistakes. Like they just don't look sharp. They don't look like a football team that understands what they need to do to win games. And I don't know if that's because they're pressing and trying to force things or if it's a coaching issue, but we're going to find out. Look, I think, look, again, calling for Dennis Allen's head at this point, I think, is premature. And I think calling for Pete Carmichael's head is premature. Let's see how they fix these problems. I think it's important to keep the perspective that if that kick goes through, all right, and let's say the Saints win that game in overtime, and they're 2-2, then we kind of have everything to play for. And it really, I mean, it literally came down to a bad bounce, basically. So if that goes through the uprights and the Saints win the game, there's a lot to be concerned about, but at 2-2, you're kind of right in the mix of the NFC. And I think we're viewing this under a very different lens than at 1-3, you're kind of feeling like you're already out of the playoff mix a little bit, and you got to go on a run here and things are starting to get tight. So I don't know, Skooks, where do you think the Saints go from here? I'm just curious. Now you look at next week. I mean, you got to start Andy Dalton, right?
I mean, probably. I mean, you know, I don't think it's a good idea to play football when your back is broken. It just seems like, you know, most doctors would not recommend doing that for anybody. So yeah, I think maybe that would be the safer thing to do. You know, you mentioned the kick not going through at the end, and I was wondering, like, is the ball too heavy in England? Because I saw this week there was a problem with the pound
going all haywire. Maybe it's more than what they thought or less. I don't know how that works. But if it is, like, you know, that would explain a lot of things. Like Deontay Hardy probably doesn't weigh much more than the ball in the first place. So I think maybe somebody should look into that. And then next week, I don't even, you know, yeah, put Red Rifle back in and then maybe we can start playing real football.
That's a great point. Look, I think, Hurricane Ian, look, you could have helped us out a little gust there, you know, instead of going up to Boston and New York, like if you could have taken a turn to London, maybe a little gust there is enough, you know, butterfly effect to get the ball over the upright, you know, and then maybe we're talking about a different thing. So, but I mean, game of inches, man. That's how close it was. Skooks, always appreciate the comedy, man. Thank you. All right, we're gonna so the Saints are 1-3. Not a great position to be in, and I think moving forward, obviously they're gonna have to get better in a hurry. But they do come back to the Superdome, Seahawks next week. I mean, I hate to call any game a must-win, but it certainly feels like one. We got to go 2-3 and try it. Look, Seattle's a weaker team. This is a team the Saints can beat. And they'll be back at home, so hopefully they can take care of business. I want to thank Ralph for coming and doing this show despite being very ill. Hopefully he feels much better for our big show tomorrow. And thank you guys, everybody that was in the chat, everybody that spoke up, everybody that's just a listener. Please consider becoming a patron if you're not already. You can find out more information on that at saintshappyhour.com. And like Ralph said, if you want to sign up for just 1 month, if you don't like it, we'll give you your money back. But you gain access to our Discord chat. You get mailed a booze bundle with a bunch of cool items. And you will also get our daily podcast where we talk about stuff besides just the post game and the big show. You'll also get access to our grades podcast and many other podcasts that we do during the week. So thank you guys all for the support. That's it for today. The bar is closed. Ralph, I hope you feel better.